going to go on to 063836, United States versus Hale. Morning, Mr. Karp.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, I represent the appellant, Brian Hale. This is a case involving interpretation of the Armed Career Criminal Act. Specifically, what is an occasion different from another with regard to the predicates? And the question is whether non-simultaneous offenses will always be considered separate and distinct episodes for the purpose.
So you want us to reconsider Hudspeth?
And I filed an untimely, I admit it, petition for in-bank review. I'm sort of stuck with asking the panel to do something that the panel itself can't do. However, under Circuit Rule 40, if the panel felt it appropriate to reconsider Hudspeth, then it could, and it should. It is the language in the Act is ambiguous. If we look at legislative history, we see that Congress, in fact, did intend to exclude simultaneous offenses, but
when you say simultaneous, I guess I'm not sure that this is the case where mm-hmm. Hudspeth is really engaged, because Mr. Hale goes to two, very close in time, but he goes to two different establishments. He uses two different guns. It certainly looks like two things, unless you had some 24-hour rule that everything you did within one 24-hour period of time was somehow all part of the same unit. But any other way you look at it, I'm not even sure that the Hudspeth dissenters wouldn't have been satisfied in this case that we had two events. I'm talking about, of course, the store robberies, not the South Carolina.
Judge Wood, I agree with you. It could be a problem. However, we don't have a record in this case of how far apart in time these events were.
But my question is, what difference does it make? Even if it was one next door, we don't have people breaking through the wall like we did before. Even if they're very proximate in distance, why isn't it two different events? You know, would you say, for example, if somebody were walking down the street and they first assaulted one person and stole her purse, and then they went and assaulted a second person and stole her purse, you wouldn't say that was just one offense, would you?
In these crime spree situations, I think there is some ambiguity.
Well, but what would you do in my situation where person number one gets her purse stolen, then just move right on down the line, person number two gets her purse stolen? Isn't that two offenses?
I think the question is whether or not that would be an occasion different. It could be. However, I think there has to be case by case.
Isn't it necessarily two offenses? I'll put it that way. My purse theft hypothetical.
If we're using case by case analysis and we're looking at the particular facts, I don't know whether that would be enough for a finding that those would be separate and distinct criminal episodes.
Really? But even though you have two different victims, two different items that you've stolen, and I'm assuming very, very close in time, but I'm surprised that you would think there was any way you could argue that was not two incidents.
I think it would be for the court to decide and not.
But how could a court rationally decide it was just one?
Well, in these crime spree situations, I think you look at the particular facts. Do the specific facts in the case, using a case-by-case analysis rather than stopping at them being non-simultaneous.
But I don't understand what fact, at least in my hypothetical, you think would cause a court to rule in a way that wasn't an abuse of discretion, that it was just one offense. You haven't given me, you know, what would your argument be? Well, Judge XYZ, you know, therefore find one offense. What are you going to say?
Well, I guess you're saying that these two purse snatchings occurred in close succession, hard on the heels of each other.
Yeah, that's right. They're both standing around Union Station or something. Some guy running through Union Station snatching purses.
And you've got two separate victims, which is something the court could
consider. Right.
But is that enough? Do we want to look at the time sequence at all? Do they happen within seconds of each other? Are the two victims together in a group? I mean, in the simultaneous situation, you have multiple victims sometimes, and yet even in a situation where there's, say, a bomb and very multiple victims, that's one episode. So that's why would that person be less dangerous than someone who does multiple purse snatchings in a matter of seconds at a train station?
Here, however, we really have discrete crimes, don't we? In other words, first he goes into a VS store, displays a gun, announces his stick-up, takes a bag of cash. A little bit later, the same day, we don't know precisely when, I guess, he goes into a restaurant, he uses a different gun, he fires the gun. I mean, aren't these two discrete occurrences?
I think not necessarily.
But you still haven't told me what would make them the same other than time. That's the only factor you want to use.
Well, if you're going to look at the fact that it's the same sort of offense, and although it's not dispositive, that there's no intervening arrest is something the court can certainly look at. Does the person actually show some sort of opportunity to impose some self-control? Are they drugs? Are they in some sort of manic episode when they're committing the crimes? The bottom line is, though, it's the analysis, if it's going to stop at non-simultaneous, then that's a problem under the rule of lenity. That shouldn't be the rule. Just because the offenses are non-simultaneous doesn't mean that they should be considered.
They are sequential, aren't they?
Yes. But that doesn't mean that that's what Congress meant. All the Cubs are baseball players. That doesn't mean that all the non-Cubs are not baseball players. And that seems to be sort of unfortunately, the analysis that appears to be being used. We're doing simultaneous versus sequential. And that is not the analysis that should be happening. It should be case-by-case analysis. And in a case like ours, where you simply have a dearth of facts to support what actually happened. We don't know if he went right next door. I admit I've got a problem because there's two different guns, but could be analogous to Hudspeth switching between the pry bar and the sledgehammer as burglary tools to go from one to the other. In any case, this is something that matters. The government sort of implied in its brief that Hudspeth had already been overruled sub silentio. I don't know if that's the case, but I think the judges of the circuit need guidance in the matter. And if Hudspeth isn't the law, then they should be told so.
I think we need guidance on all matters, but okay. Ms. Rumbelow.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mr. Karp, I did not write the brief below, but I've read it several times, and I don't think the government implied at all that Hudspeth has been overruled. Mr. Hale, in this case, was appropriately sentenced as an armed career criminal based on the three following convictions: the armed robbery offense, as listed in paragraph 42 of the PSR, the second armed robbery offense, as listed in paragraph 43, in the assault and battery with intent to kill. Now, I do want to clarify with the court that in the government's brief, we indicated that even if we couldn't rely on those three convictions, he had these other convictions. The government is withdrawing that argument, Your Honors, because there was no evidence presented below on what the statutory maximum penalties were for those other drug offenses.
You're withdrawing the argument. Does that change anything substantive here?
No, because he does have the three qualifying convictions to be sentenced as an armed career criminal. As the court just noted, we do have the two armed robbery convictions that involved two different victims. two different guns, two different locations, and there is absolutely no compelling reason to overrule Hudspeth. Yes, the record is not clear exactly when these two armed robberies occurred, you know, like, where is it, 5 minutes apart, 10 minutes apart, or 15 minutes apart.
Does it show the addresses of the establishments robbed?
No, but Mr. Hale never argued that below, didn't challenge it below, and in fact didn't even challenge that in his opening brief. He didn't mention it until his reply brief, therefore it has been waived. But no, the uncontested facts below in front of the district court were, again, the two different victims, two different guns, and the judgments of conviction were also provided in discovery. And the PSI shows that the two armed robberies were charged under two different case numbers in Cook County. So there's nothing to suggest that these two armed robberies should not count as separate, distinct offenses and therefore qualify for purposes of 924E sentencing.
Why should the charging under two different case numbers make any difference?
I think that if they had happened at the same time, I don't know for sure, I've never practiced law in the state of Illinois, but I would think they would have been perhaps charged under one case number had they occurred at the same time.
But you're not arguing that as a strongly relevant factor in the analysis?
No. No. It's the fact that it's two different victims, two different guns, and clearly he had an opportunity to cease and desist at some point, considering that he went on to rob another victim. I ask that the court affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rumbelow. Mr. Carr.
Your Honors, I would ask the court to find plain error here because there is disparity in sentences, different circuits using different tests.
Is there some sort of overwhelming disagreement with Hudspeth in some other circuit that I'm not aware of?
Yes. The Stearns, First Circuit, for example, I think there's certainly different results depending on the facts and whether the charges are the same.
So the First Circuit agreed with the dissenters?
That's how I'm reading Stearns.
Oh, good.
And
friend in the First Circuit.
It would be time to...
You're laughing at me, not at you.
Okay. It would be time to reconsider the application of this rule. The fact that there are two different case numbers, again, is if it's going to be looked at all, also should be considered along with the fact that Mr. Hale on those two robberies had the same court dates, sentenced at the same time, received identical concurrent sentences.
Now, thank you. Mr. Karp, you were court-appointed, were you not?
I had that honor.
Well, we thank you sincerely for the fine job that you did for Mr. Hale, and and we thank you for taking the appointment.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you so much. And we thank Ms. Rumbelow, as always, for the fine job she did, and she's going to do another fine job, I guess, in a minute. 054